This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. There's a story out of Hollywood this week that's a little bit inside baseball, a little bit organized labor, and a whole lot of money, and who gets it. Writers and the big talent management agencies are at an impasse over how those agencies represent those writers, and again, how the money gets divvied up. There's a Friday midnight deadline, at which, if the two sides can't come to terms, writers, we are told, are going to fire their agents. We got entertainment lawyer Jonathan Handel, also a contributing editor at The Hollywood Reporter, on the phone to explain what is going on here. Jonathan, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you.
Could you, in the vernacular of Hollywood, could you give me like the 30-second elevator pitch on what this whole thing is about, please?
Well, it's a complicated one. This is the writers versus their own agents rather than versus the employers, which is what you usually see in a labor dispute. It's not writers versus studios. It's writers versus agents. The Writers Guild and the talent agents both represent the writers, but the Writers Guild feels, and many writers feel, that the way that talent agents are compensated is unfair. They're not typically compensated with 10% of the writer's salary. Huh. Instead, they get paid by the studios, what's called packaging fees, and that creates a conflict of interest in the view of the Writers Guild.
So tell me about how this packaging works then.
The way packaging works is that an agent typically puts a writer together. We're talking television in particular, with a star. The writer has a script, a pilot script, and they take that package to a studio, and you're off to the races.
And the complaint from the writers then is you're not representing us, and somehow we're not getting as much money as we ought to get, right?
The writers feel that because the agencies are potentially getting enormous sums of money, in the case of a successful show, that the agencies really are not negotiating aggressively on behalf of the writers. They're not taking 10% of the writer's salary. Instead, they're getting money directly from the studios. They've also not been happy more recently with a practice called affiliate production, where the talent agencies are actually setting up their own affiliated production companies and going into business as mini studios themselves.
Huh. So what we've got the writer's point of view here. What are the agencies saying?
The agencies say two things. First of all, that in fact, writers tend to make more money because they don't have to pay commission when you're talking about packaging arrangements. And as far as affiliate production goes, the agencies say, you know, this is bringing new buyers into the marketplace. We're actually giving better deals to writers. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the president of the Writers Guild East is in business with one of these companies. He has done a deal with one of the affiliated production companies precisely because the deals are better than what the studios offer.
The writers have proposed this thing called the Code of Conduct. First of all, what is it? And second of all, what happens if agencies say, nah, we're not signing that?
The way things work right now, for the last 43 years, there's been an agreement between the Writers Guild and the Association of Talent Agents. That agreement is set to terminate Friday night, in fact. They want to replace it with a quote-unquote code of conduct that would prohibit packaging fees and affiliate production. None of the major agencies are going to sign that. Few, if any, of the mid-tier agencies will sign it. And as a result, writers by the thousands will be ordered by the Guild, unless there's a solution reached before then, to fire their own agents. That could lead to massive litigation in both directions and certainly to a great degree of uncertainty as to how people are going to find jobs.
Okay, so not to make this all about me, but let's make it all about me as a proxy for the viewing and content-consuming public out there. Is content going to go away? Are we going to lose peak TV and all that great stuff that we're watching, Game of Thrones and all of that? I mean, Game of Thrones is going to be done, but you know what I mean.
Well, this is a harder one than a strike from the standpoint of a viewer, because it's not a situation where suddenly everything's going to go dark. At the end of the day, I don't think that the viewer is going to see an enormous difference one way or another here, to be quite frank.
Jonathan Handel, he's an entertainment attorney, also contributing editor at The Hollywood Reporter. Jonathan, thanks a lot. I appreciate your time.
Thanks very much.